Howdy, all. This is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast, episode 4. Today, I'll be covering a bunch of different topics, some product related and some guitar technique or lesson related as well. As you may or may not know, I do loads and loads of gear demos on YouTube, and I also get a chance to test a lot of products here at home. Where I live right now, it's not always advisable to be cranking up an amp at any time of the day loudly, so I time my recordings well, and I usually film during the day with my amp at a low volume. I've tried a couple of different solutions for recording, whether it be attenuators or silent recording cabinets or isolation boxes like I've got now, and I recently just purchased the Randall isolation cabinet. And this is basically a box with a speaker and an SM57 inside it. So basically, you bypass your speaker on your amplifier and you basically use the Celestion Vintage 30 that's in the box. And as you close the lid, it really cuts the noise down. I just felt like their website and also the blurb about this product and some of the videos on YouTube are a little misleading about what you can actually expect. So I'm here to basically tell you what I think of it, and also compare it to the Axtrack, which is a similar idea only with a smaller box and a smaller speaker and smaller microphone built into a cabinet. So if you've used an Axtrack before, you might find, or some people might find, and I actually found that it does change your tone a little too much. It's a little boxy sounding because it is a really small box, but it's just, it's got this weird low mids hump that you can't get rid of unless you start EQing a lot. And I don't know, I just couldn't really get the sound that I wanted from it. So I basically ditched that and I went over and grabbed the Randall isolation cabinet. I found it on eBay, actually, nice and cheap, from a really cool guy in Sydney who packed it beautifully, and I got it, and it's basically brand new. So this 12-inch speaker that sits in the box, it absolutely cuts the noise down. If you've got your amp on, say, 3 or 4, and most amps at that sort of wattage, like the 22-watt amp, would be pretty loud. It'd be too loud to just, you know, jam out at home, at least where I live. So I decided that the isolation cabinet would be the best way for me to record. The pros of this thing are absolutely great. It records exceptionally well. The microphone's always in the same spot, so once you get it angled on a spot that you really like, it's there as long as you like. It comes with a Vintage 30, like I mentioned, a Celestion Vintage 30, and it's a good speaker, and it sounds really cool with my Deluxe Reverb. It actually doesn't look too bad. I've got it in the corner of my room, so aesthetically, it's not so bad. It's covered in black carpet, and as you close the lid, or when you open it, I can't really hear a difference between that. So on the actual recording, I mean, you can hear a huge difference on the volume drop. So this is where I think a lot of people might be misled when it comes to the isolation cabinet. And I'm going to show you what I did. I also modded it slightly as well. So basically, what it won't do is give you the holy grail of noise cancellation. It basically reduces the volume of your amp tremendously. It does that extremely well. But because it's a wooden box, it will actually vibrate a lot. So you're sort of substituting a really loud noise for a very different noise. And it was a little off-putting. I had it behind me in a couple of the early videos that I did, and I was hearing the sound of the guitar through the monitors. But acoustically, the box was still pretty loud in a different way. It's sort of, you can feel it vibrating and rattling. So luckily enough, I had some acoustic foam, the sort of triangle-shaped wedge kind of things. I don't know what that you call them. They're about a foot by a foot, and you put them on the walls normally. I had a whole bunch of those, and I had some 3-inch foam. So I took the speaker out, and I laid down a really thick slice of the foam at the bottom of the cabinet, and some against the walls. I didn't glue it in or anything. It just fit, luckily. I didn't have to do anything, really, except for just cut a few sections. But I put it up against each side of the wall underneath the speaker because it was just completely empty. And that actually made a huge difference to the sound. And I also noticed that there's no real join around the lid. So you've basically, as you close the lid down on top of this thing, the seal or lack of seal is just carpet touching carpet. So I thought, maybe I'll just pack the roof of the lid full of, you know, I had a 2-3 inch foam as well. So I literally just pushed a whole bunch of extra foam into the lid, and that cut down the noise as well. So here we go. If you're in a situation where you have to be very quiet and you want to turn your amp onto 5 or 6 or beyond or 10, then the Randall isolation cabinet isn't for you. I find it works best with my amps around 2 to 4 on the volume at a 22 watt amp power rating. So around there, you'll get very dramatic reduction in noise and very little trade-off in tone. I think it actually records extremely well. I don't hear any boxiness. I don't hear anything like that at all. So you can expect some really great tight-sounding recordings that just, yeah, that's from your amp. So that's a great thing to have. If you want to run your amp really hot and get that valve distortion and you don't want to wake the neighbors, then it's definitely not the choice for you. You'd be better off going for the Axe Track and substituting the acoustic volume of the box, which is next to zero on the Axe Track, for maybe not as nice a tone. So that's one thing to take into account. If you want to have a dead silent recording and you want to use an isolation cabinet, I haven't used the Rivera ones either, but they're even bigger and more expensive. So for me, I've had the Axe Track for years, and I've had the Randall isolation cabinet now maybe 3 weeks. And I've got to say that the Randall kills it for tone. I don't have to re-EQ anything. It just sounds fantastic. But the acoustic noise coming from the box, is still quite loud, but it's a different kind of loud. You can feel it vibrating and rattling, but you don't get any of that on your recordings. I should point that out. I didn't hear any of that. It's got these like metal hinges on the back and metal sort of handles as well that do rattle on certain frequencies. So don't think it's like the be all and end all for quiet home recording, because it's not. If you do have your amplifier on a clean channel around 2 or 3 on the volume, or even a drive channel, whatever, it's going to be fine. And then also if you crank on a overdrive pedal, you'll notice the overall volume of the box gets louder. It still cuts 75%, but it doesn't cut as much as you might think. So keep that into account if you're looking at getting an isolation cabinet. I've got to say, I'm a huge fan of the Randall now that I've had a chance to use it for a while. It took me a couple of days to feel comfortable recording and sort of working out where to put it in the room so it doesn't affect me acoustically when I'm playing guitar with monitors facing me, but also what volumes and how to make the most out of it. I did have to re-EQ my amp a little by taking a little bit of the low end out, but I also found that once I packed it full of foam under the speaker, it greatly improved the sound, and I also left the bass port completely free of foam, so I didn't touch that. But I just packed the walls up, packed the floor up, packed the roof up with a little extra foam. Done. I think it sounds great. If you have any questions about that, just let me know. I got asked about plugins and what are some of my favorite plugins for, you know, the mixing process or to produce albums for people. The CLA plugins are amazingly good. I had a chance to try these a while back and I've never looked back. My current album that I'm working on, I've used CLA plugins pretty much exclusively on there, as well as some other Waves plugins, but on the bass and the drums and all the guitars, I've used the CLA plugins and they really, really sound good. They've got a really cool sort of like acoustic reverb or room reverb sound for the drums, and the drums just sound like $1 million. What I'm going to do is shoot a video or capture it on my desktop somehow and show you the difference between my mix with them off and on and without any extra EQ. And you can see for yourself, they're really quite good. So what I love about these is a lot of them have compression and they also have delay and reverb and all that kind of stuff built into each of the plugins, whether it be for bass or guitar. They all have their own unique set of features, and just by enabling them and not doing anything else without going through all the presets, you're basically getting a really great sound that fits well in the mix. As long as you've got the other plugins enabled on the other instruments, it really does sound good. So if you're looking at getting a pack of plugins, then I suggest going for the CLA plugins. I'm not sponsored by Waves. I don't get paid for any of my suggestions. This is just stuff I've used over the years that I really like. And the CLA plugins, definitely check them out by Waves. Over the years, I've been asked so many times, how do I learn a new lick? So basically, I start with something that I can hear in my head and remember easily enough. I either break that lick down into sections and work on specific sections until each of the sections are as smooth and as effortless as possible, and then I start to combine them and I practice them over and over and over again. And then I'll play it to a slow blues, for example, or I'll play it to a shuffle or a faster blues, or just a different song altogether, and see how it works musically in context with a lot of different things. I think that's important. The worst thing you can possibly do, in my opinion, is when you go to learn a lick or you know, borrow one from someone else. Don't try to learn too many of them too soon, because you just won't forget them, or you won't really know how to apply them to music. If, say, you're at a jam and you're used to only playing a lick over a slow blues and you want to play that lick but you're playing over a shuffle, all of a sudden you'll get caught up and it will sound like a mess, or you won't be able to execute it at all, or vice versa. You might not be able to slow things down. So learn it back to front until you can hear it in your head as you're playing it. Play it in all the different keys and try to move it into different positions to give you more options of playing it in different areas on the guitar. Don't learn a lick in one spot only. Move it around. Play it in one key, move it up half a step, play it there, move it up half a step, play it there. Get a good feel for it and how it sounds, and the hand and brain will connect the dots in a way that's much better than, you know, learning it for 10 minutes and hoping that it'll stick, because a lot of the time that just doesn't work. Play it to death and play it for a couple of weeks, and you'll find it'll become part of your bag nice and easily. So I had a few questions on YouTube recently regarding the Kalin pedals and what are my thoughts on them compared to the Joyo pedals. Now, as you know, I actually really love the Joyo pedals. Some of them in particular are just some of the best you can buy for their price. The Kalin pedals are easily as good, except they look a little bit more uniform. They don't have anything that's just, you know, too crazy or out there compared to another one in their range. They all kind of look the same. Now, if you look at the Sweet Baby Overdrive by Joyo and the Vintage Overdrive, they look completely different. So all of the ones that are in the range of the Kalin pedals, they all look uniform. So they'll, you know, if it bothers you at all, it'll at least look good on a pedal board. And it also gives you some variation, because the Kalin pedals are modeled off a completely different series of pedals as well. So I get asked, what do I think about this pedal versus that pedal? My suggestion is, go for the one that you think is the best. If you're using them on a clean amp or an off-clean amp, then your choices might be different to if you're using them on a dirty channel amp. So keep that into consideration. Listen to all the videos. I've got a whole lot of videos on both of those brands now. And if you want to find out more about them, head over to intheblues.com.au. I have a lot of videos on my site that aren't actually public on YouTube as well. Or they will be soon, but they're just embedded into the website for now. So yeah, definitely check those out. The Kalin Overdrive pedals, the one based on the BBE preamp, the Orange Crush pedal, I really love that. I think that sounds great. As well as the Pure Sky Overdrive. You can't beat that for price. It almost sounds as good as the Vemuram Overdrive, which is $400. So I would put that up there with the Vintage Overdrive and the Sweet Baby Overdrive, hands down. Except physically and cosmetically, the Kalin pedal looks a lot better than the Sweet Baby Overdrive. I don't kind of like that dry, sort of powdery metal on the Sweet Baby Overdrive. I kind of like the Vintage Overdrive by Joyo. I like that casing. It's a lot nicer to look at. And the Kalin pedals are a lot like that. So both are great. Definitely check them out if you want something that's cheap, that's different. I think they're going to be the new Joyo. I absolutely do. So a little look about what's been going on and what's coming up with the Tone podcast. Last week, I got a chance to chat with Dave Street from Little Crow Guitars. And they're based in Western Australia. They're a great guitar company. And it was great to have Dave on the show and my first official guest. And I also had quite a number of other people get interested in being on the show pretty quickly as well, which is great. So I've got the next few weeks booked out. I'll probably do a solo podcast in between a few of them, but next week I'm talking with Ross Helmont, who is one of my favorite guitar players in Melbourne. I actually learned a lot from him over the years, and it was more about what not to play than what to play. And he's just got great feel, and the way that he plays is, yeah, he's got a really unique approach. And he's also a professional guitar teacher. He's not only works with beginners, but he teaches professionals about theory and about application and breaking bad habits and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to have a chat to him about various topics next week, which should be a lot of fun. I'm also looking to have the Toy Room Guitar Effects Company on, so Tim will be joining me at some point in time, as well as a few companies from the US, Canada, and Australia as well. So it's looking like it's going to be good. If you have any suggestions about people you'd like to see on the show that I can reach out to, please let me know. And if you're a pedal manufacturer or a guitar company or whatever, and you want to have a chat and get a little bit of exposure on the In the Blues Tone podcast, then feel free to contact me as well. Leave a comment in the description, or you can head over to facebook.com/intheblues and contact me there via personal message. And if you're only on email, go to either intheblues.com.au and contact me from there, or guitarpedaldemos.com, which is my old website. So yeah, lots of stuff happening, and I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I mean, the podcast was an idea, and I'm actually really enjoying doing this. My hand's been extremely sore the last sort of 5 weeks, and it's really affected my playing, so I haven't really been filming as many demos as I would like, or maybe some of the playing's not quite up to my normal standard, I guess. But yeah, I've had a bit of an issue in the middle of my hand, and it's been pretty sore, but it's starting to sort itself out now. So I'm going to get back in the driver's seat of the guitar demos and stuff pretty soon and do a whole lot more. I've got some more pedals coming in as well from all over the place, so it should be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. My name's Shane. You can check me out at intheblues.com.au or on YouTube at youtube.com/intheblues. Talk to you all soon. See ya.